This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and this is Raise Your Game. Now, a really big problem with trying to start a business is to find uncontested market space. And in 2005, professors Chan Kim and Renee Maborn wrote a book called Blue Ocean Strategy, which is all about finding and using these spaces in the market space. But the transition proved to be quite difficult for people to actually carry out. There wasn't really a process to make the shift. Enter Blue Ocean Shift, which is the follow-up book providing the process of moving from red oceans to blue. Here to speak to me about all of that today is Raj Kumar, CEO of UCSI Consulting Group and a certified Blue Ocean Strategy practitioner. Thank you so much for speaking to me today.
Hi, Christine. It's good to be back. Yeah, you know, it's so interesting to talk about blue oceans, and I think that, you know, it's been around for a long time, and even more so today. We can see that companies are really in dire straits and in need of creating their own uncontested market space, especially with the current situation in the economy.
Yeah. So first of all, just in case people don't actually understand what that means, can you explain to us a little bit about that dichotomy of the red oceans and the blue oceans?
Sure. I mean, if you talk about red oceans, we're talking about, you know, where you have stiff competition and we're talking about fighting for an existing market space and everybody's fighting for the same piece of the pie. But when we talk about blue oceans, you're moving away from this red ocean space and you're creating your own uncontested market space. That's the term blue ocean. Beyond just existing demand, you're looking at non-customers, you're looking at ways to develop and expand even the industry and reshape the industry. So that's what we're talking about when we term it as blue oceans.
Right, I see. Why is it so difficult for people to move from red oceans to blue oceans?
I think because there's this notion where the market is a given. We tend to be confined within a structure of an industry and we tend to be confined within the way our company is set up. And moving away from that can be quite difficult and can be quite daunting. Many people want to keep to the status quo and sell more. But when we talk about creating the blue ocean shift, it's really about moving away from that crowded space and going to an uncontested market space.
Yeah, you know, I think that's definitely a really interesting point that you've brought up. You feel like you have to stick to, I guess, the social norms of what business is supposed to be. But if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to be radical in being an entrepreneur in the first place, it does make sense to try and move away from what the business world is telling you should be your mindset and to look towards something radically different, right?
Absolutely. And that's being a reconstructionist, right? You're reconstructing the market. And look around you today, like in the last 5 years, look at all the businesses that have transformed the entire industry. You know, a lot of industries are being disrupted, you know, and we can see that many blue oceans have been created for the last 5 years. And we are living in exciting times. And this is the opportunity for us, you know, to jump on the bandwagon and to create your own market space.
Right. Well, let's go into a little bit more detail about how to actually do that. So within a blue ocean shift, you talk about the fundamentals of market creating strategy. So what are those fundamentals?
So the fundamentals of market creating strategy is to have the right perspective, to understand that you don't have to compete all the time. You don't have to be obsessed with the competition. You can look at ways where you can move away from the competition because there are other growth opportunities out there. That's number one. Number two is the humanness in the process. You got to get everybody to get involved in the process because I think that's very, very important where the buy-in is there and you want people to take ownership of the strategy. And that's very, very important because gone are the days where we talk about top-down strategy. We're talking about collective brain power of the entire company. And third is, of course, we are talking about, you know, the how-to, right? The systematic way to do it.
That perspective especially, you know, thinking about the fact that you don't necessarily have to compete with people. I think that is something, especially when it comes to Asia, we've seen a lot of companies that rise up following a sort of trend or, you know, let's say a certain product becomes really popular, suddenly companies are sprouting out everywhere, selling the same thing and trying to hop on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Where the more interesting perspective would be, okay, they're all doing that. I'm going to do something different. And then with the humanness, I think that's another issue, right? In the corporate world, it's very, very easy to think of everyone as just kind of cogs in a big machine. Mm-hmm. But when you bring humanness into the equation and you really think about getting people loyal in a sense, you know, creating a sense of trust, creating a personal connection, right? You know, I think that is really, really fundamental as well.
Yeah. And I think just to add on to that point, since we're talking about that, The world of old strategy is very top down, because when we talk about the word strategy on its own, it literally means the office of the general. So the general gives the orders, and the captains and the colonels and everyone follows, right? And surprisingly, even when we talk about the world of strategy today, we still use some of these military terms, like headquarters, you know, frontliners, chief executive officers, you know, and so on and so forth, right? But the world of new strategy is really about collective intelligence. It's really about collective value. It's really about brain power coming together and having a process of defining market creation strategies. And this process is an ongoing thing. It's not just a one-off. You know, you keep coming together and keep doing it, because when we talk about strategy in the past, it's always been very much the CEO, and it's very much an ad hoc, you know. And sometimes the danger of that, it can be very myopic. And if it has worked for the last 20 years, great, fantastic. But now, industry is being changed, and you see new channels, you see innovation coming in. So how are we going to cope with this? So this is a very fundamental, important aspect that needs to be addressed today.
Yeah, you know, it's really all about looking at things from a very different perspective.
Yep.
And there's also something about the specific mind of a blue ocean strategist. So can you talk to me a little bit about what it takes to have the mind of a blue ocean strategist?
All right. So I think to have the mind of a blue ocean strategist, firstly, you got to move away, again, as I mentioned, from the competition. Second is you have to just look beyond your existing demand. And I think firstly is growth strategy should not be based on existing environmental industry conditions and boundaries. You need to be able to reshape them, and you're able to leverage off of your collective intelligence of the company, right? So I think the best way to illustrate this is to talk about an example. So let's talk about the hotel industry. It's called Citizen M, right? It's a hotel with the tagline of creating affordable luxury. And they have really reconstructed the market, and they've created a new fantastic value proposition. So how they have done that is by not competing with the existing hotels in the industry, but creating entire new value proposition and for an entire new market. And they have capitalized on the trend that is happening, because everybody today are mobile citizens, and everybody today are looking for value for money. But at the same time, they have gone to the depth of understanding what are the existing pain points of the customers, right? So they've managed to capture all these people who are going to the B&Bs, but you know, for some reason now they are coming to this hotel. And this hotel has been very successful because they have the lowest average cost per room. They have the highest profitability and the highest guest ranking and highest occupancy in the industry. How do they do that in such a current, in the situation of the economy, right? They followed the process, and they have a very systematic way of looking at it. So one way is to think about value innovation. You know, how do we increase value and reduce costs at the same time? And it's a very important key fundamental of Blue Ocean strategy and Blue Ocean shift. So what they did was, number one, they eliminated the front desk, the concierge service, the bell hops, the doorman, and the full service restaurant, room service, and even the lobby. Can you imagine? This is a very big move, right? This is a bold move. I mean, this is something where the industry tend to practice. All right, if you go to a hotel, you must see a lobby. How can you eliminate the entire lobby? But that's why they are bold enough to do this, because they have enough insights. So insight-driven strategies are very important. So they brought down the cost and they reduced the guest room types. You know, this number of the rooms are fantastic, but they reduced the types of rooms, right? They reduced the size and the price, and also the cost of building the hotel itself. And so by doing this, they brought down the cost, so they increased the profitability. But not just bringing down the cost. No, remember, in good strategy, fundamentally, you should not just talk about cost cutting. You should increase value at the same time. So they have extra beds, luxurious linens, quiet, good shower, prime location, and this is the good part, free movies on demand, voice over IP calls free, and free internet speeds, lots of plugins, gadgets. We all love that, right? And what did they create? They created self-check-ins, and these are what I love, communal living environment. That means they created very nice living rooms where people can come and just chill out and relax with 24 hours bar and pantry. So, and lastly, they created these multitasking ambassadors where, you know, you know, have you been to a hotel where they pass you to one department to another, you know, and this particular one staff is a non-scripted staff and they can do anything for you. So they increase value. So by just reconstructing this, by looking at ways to eliminate, reduce, raise and create, they have created a new market space and they have just delighted the customer. But the best part of strategy is this, they have increase their profitability as well. So they increase value and reduce costs at the same time without compromising on their value proposition and create an affordable luxury for a new group of people. And that's what a mind of a strategist is. You know, so you align your value proposition, your profit proposition and your people proposition, right? So when you align these three, you are able to create a fantastic strategy and win in the market.
But of course, you also have to have such an in-depth knowledge of what you're going to get into and what you have to move away from as well. Because like you were saying, all these pain points that you were talking about, which I'm assuming is things like, for example, oh, my hotel room doesn't have enough outlets. So they kind of address that issue.
Yes.
You have to be able to understand what you are kind of trying to move away from or what you're trying to fix, what you're trying to change. And that is something that I think is a really big obstacle for people. Because especially if you're trying to start out in an industry and you don't know a lot about it yet, it's going to be very difficult for you to try and innovate without knowing what you're going to innovate from.
Absolutely. And that's why it's very important in the process itself to understand your as-is. You've got to know your industry. You've got to know what is the current name of the game? What is the current rule of the game? And you got to know what are the industry pain points? What are the customer pain points? And you got to look at who are the underserved market in this particular industry. So it's very important for you to know your as is before you want to create your own blue ocean. Now, why people have an issue with this of not understanding the as is because they're so obsessed in beating the competition. They're so obsessed with their existing numbers and trying to protect their current market share. They lose sight on what are the trends that is happening out there in the market. I mean, we have had clients saying, wow, we never knew that the market has changed so much, you know, in the next 5 years. Because why? Because they've been too busy doing things the same way. If it ain't broken, why fix it, right? That's the kind of mindset that people usually have. And we've been doing this for 10 years. It's been successful. Why change it now? If you don't change, you know what's going to happen next.
All right. Well, it's time for a short break. But after that, I'll continue speaking to Raj Kumar all about the 5 steps to making a blue ocean shift. So stay tuned to Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Raise Your Game on Enterprise, and I'm Christine Wong. Before the break, I was speaking to Raj Kumar, a CEO of UCSI Consulting Group and certified Blue Ocean Strategy practitioner, all about the concept of the Blue Ocean Shift. So this is shifting from a red ocean to a blue ocean, trying to create a new market space for yourself and not getting so caught up in direct competition. Now, we talked a little bit more about the general concept and talked about Citizen M as a really, really good example of people who are using Blue Ocean Strategy. But those are people who already have it in place. Let's talk about how to make that transition if you are currently in a red ocean to a blue ocean. So from my understanding, there are 5 steps to making a blue ocean shift. Let's go through them.
All right, exactly. So the beautiful thing about this is there is a how-to, right? There is a method to the madness, if you put it that way. And so there are 5 steps. These are refined steps based on a lot of input in the last 10 years, based on research and based on feedback from practitioners. So the first step is this. Number one is to get started, all right? Is to choose the right place to start and to choose the right team. Now, choosing the right place to start is essentially is about you knowing which product or service you want to apply this shift on, right? Now, on a practical sense, we know that in a particular organization, you might have many products or services, right? And there are some that are your cash cows and you don't want to disturb them, which is fine, you know, and you just want to prolong their life cycle. But there are some that are probably in between a blue or red ocean space that you can expand further and you can create a bigger market share or bigger space on that front. So essentially, the first step is to identify which of these products you want to apply the shift on and getting the right team on board. Now, it's very important to get the right team on board because many a times we tend to get team who have only one, a single perspective and people who have been really, very biased towards a specific strategy in the past. So it's very important for you to have a balanced team is to come together and have a different point of references so that we can bounce off the collective brain power of the group. So that's step one. step two is once you have done that, you have to understand where you are right now. I think I mentioned this a little bit earlier just now, to know your as is, right? So get a clear picture of a current state of play. And there are many visual tools that are available there. One of it is called a strategy canvas. So strategy canvas helps you identify key committing factors of your industry. It helps you to identify what is your current value proposition of the industry. Now, many of you might say, why do we need to do this since we're moving away from competition? Because this is the as is. You got to know your current state of play first before you create your own blue oceans.
So for these first two steps, it is really all about building up your foundation. First of all, I really enjoy the fact that while the concept of a blue ocean shift sounds really big and like it has to be radical and change everything, it doesn't have to. You can really, really focus and use this strategy on one product in your whole company. You don't have to change everything.
Absolutely.
And it's all about finding the right opportunities and finding what can be done in a different way. So that in and of itself is, I think, really interesting. And the other thing is that the conscious choice to pick a team that will discuss, will bring some sort of conflict or some sort of a different perspective, you know, and try to shake you out of it. That is something that I think is really missing in a lot of companies. It's very, very easy to hire very, very like-minded people and everyone ends up being one side of the magnet, right? But when you do that, you fall into the trap of becoming completely complacent and assuming that your way is the right way because it's been done and everyone says that it's the right way, and you get stuck in this concept where you can no longer innovate.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point, Christine. And you know, you want to get team members that will ask you why and why not questions, right? So they're going to ask you, okay, why is it like this? Why not if we try it this way? So those that on its own starts a blue ocean shift.
Yeah. And yeah. Even thinking about it from a really basic perspective, if the people that you're working with are not asking those questions, your consumers will. And that is something that you want to totally avoid. You want to be able to address those problems before they even happen. So by making sure that your team will be the kind of team to respond to that and really take on the initiative to question and challenge and really grow this product or the service or the company even that you're trying to apply the strategy to, I think is really important. And as we mentioned earlier, the understanding where you are now, for example, you can't, let's say, think of a completely different color no one has seen before if you don't know what the existing colors are.
Yeah.
It requires a lot of research and development and a lot of knowledge, I think, for that one as well.
Yeah.
So the next step is to imagine where you could be from there, right?
Exactly. So first is get started, understand where you are right now. And the third step is imagine where you could be, right? You start asking questions like, who are our non-customers? What are the current pain points?
So let's go back to the Citizen M case study, right? Because this was the hotels that looked at the current hotel industry and thought, okay, we've got to address certain issues within that. So you have hidden pain points and you have non-customers. Let's talk about those concepts. So when you say hidden pain points, what exactly do you mean?
So hidden pain points are pain points, you know, that you're never going to know by asking them a feedback, you know. you're only going to know when you really observe, right? And you're only going to know when you really experience it yourself. You know, for example, you're going to a hotel. You know, I really want a nice bed and I don't really need so many things in the hotel. And if you go look at Citizen M, they have a window, a wall-to-wall window, and that's just amazing. They have a fantastic bed, you have mood lights. And I think, you know, pain points, hidden pain points can only be defined when you talk to your customers and non-customers. You know, you will be surprised how many businesses run without even just having that conversation to your customers or even your non-customers. You know, when we work with clients, the first thing I'm going to ask is, when was the last time you spoke to your customer? When was the last time you spoke to someone who is going to a competitor?
I think that's important to clarify also, speaking to them directly. You know, it's like not just like leaving reviews on a Facebook page. It's really getting down to brass tacks and really trying to, even for example, like you said, going to a competitor's business and seeing what they're doing and understanding, okay, maybe they're doing something that I'm not. Maybe I need to see what they're addressing that I might be missing out on entirely.
Yeah, and if you can look at it, you know, most of the hotels, they have very good buffet spreads. Obviously it's a revenue stream, but what Citizen M is doing, they made a blue ocean shift and made a conscious decision to just have a 24/7 pantry because most of these mobile travelers, mobile citizens of the world, they just want to grab a quick sandwich, a quick sushi, you know, get something from the bar, and go on. And they're out there most of the time, right? So they're not going to spend a lot of time eating in the hotel. So that's one shift, right? So these are possible ways that you can imagine going back to that industry. So it applies to every industry. You need to imagine, hey, you know, what are really our customer pain points? Why have we been doing this? Maybe it has been done for the last 10 years. But the question is, Do you need to do this way in the next 5 years or next 10 years? Shouldn't we change? Shouldn't we reconstruct? Shouldn't we, change the entire experience? For example, check in, right? Today, you don't really need somebody there to go in and check in.
Yeah, you can do it online, self-check in, use a
exactly.
kiosk.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just want to go to my bed. I just want to go to my room. You know, I just want to get all my keys and everything and just go in. So things like this and, are very interesting ways and that you can create a shift. So imagine where you could be in terms of understanding your industry and finding ways to unlock, right?
The other thing that you mentioned as well is talking to customers and non-customers.
Yeah.
So why is talking to non-customers so important?
Non-customers because they are the ones who's going to bring in your new business, right? That's when you are looking beyond your existing demand, right? So non-customers, you know, why are they non-customers? That's the key question that you got to ask. Are they non-customers because there's something that you are doing that is hindering them from coming? There's a pain point, there's a barrier, or maybe the other industry or alternative are giving a better solution. So why?
Right, I see. All right, and then once you've imagined where it could be, you need to find out how to get there. So how do you go about that?
Yeah. Step 4 is to systematically reconstruct the market boundaries and to develop alternative blue ocean options. So how are you going to do that is there is a tool that's called Six Path Frameworks, and it's very interesting. It looks at 6 different ways to think out of the box. You can look at another industry, for example. You can look at, okay, in order to solve this particular pain point, I can look at another industry, right? I can look at other technologies that are out there. And you can look at maybe within your industry, there are different groups that have good strategies that you can adopt and you can bring into your own current offering. You can look at ways to redefine your buyer groups. You can look at ways to create a total solution. You can look at ways to relook at the functional, emotional orientation of the industry. And you can even look at ways to capitalize on trends. And once you identify that, once you have some ideas through this process, then you start to reconstruct it, right? And you start to do like what Citizen M did. You ask this question, hey, what am I going to eliminate? If you can't stop doing it, maybe you do less, you reduce. And then you ask another question like, what are things that I should raise, right? How can I increase value? What has been under-offered? You know, how can I raise it? And then you look at things that you can create. Hey, what are things that never been offered? You know, let's bring in something from a different industry and create something like Citizen M again. You know, they created this unscripted stuff. So once you do that, then you have a few options. You can have 2 or 3 options on this, what to eliminate, reduce, raise, and create, and then put it on the board and then get everyone to come and get everybody to give their feedback, right? You know, the amazing thing is everybody wants you to succeed, including your suppliers, right? Including people who are working with you, including your customers. You know, if you talk to them, they will tell you, they will give you ideas. That's just amazing. And then you have the options on the table.
Right. And then finally, the last step of actually making that shift. So you've gotten started, you've chosen the right place to start, the right team, you've understood where you are, done your research, found the hidden pain points, talked to your customers and your non-customers. Yeah. You've imagined where you could be. You've tried to see where you can innovate, create, eliminate, reduce, and found out how to get there. Now, the last step is to make your move.
Yeah, you might make your move and you can do a rapid market test and you can launch your Blue Ocean move. And the best part is when you go through a process like this, you have your whole team backing you up and because they've been involved from the start and you reduce the barriers or rather you reduce the risk of not implementing it. You know, because there are companies that have great strategies, but they're very top down. So they don't get everyone in the organization involved. So through this, you can execute the strategy very well. So the process of execution is already built into the strategy formulation phase.
All these steps, I mean, obviously a lot of this is easier said than done, right? But the fact of the matter is there is a process, there is a structure, and there is, you know, a lot of help and guidance and tools that you can use yep. in order to really try and innovate yourself and innovate your products and your company and do something different and yep. really try to shake things up a little bit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's actually about all the time we have.
Sure.
But thank you so much, Raj, for coming in and speaking to me today.
My pleasure.
All right. If you've missed any of this interview, download the BFM app on the Apple App Store or Google Play and listen back to our podcast. I'm Christine Wong. You've been listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.